There's one verse in the passage in Galatians that stands out in my mind today, and it's Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season or in good time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, my grandmother used to quote another verse from here, only it was her version of the verse. It was Galatians 6 and 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. The scripture says, whatsoever a man, the King James Version says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My grandmother interpreted it a different way. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also rip. So she was saying men didn't know how to sow. But that verse of scripture stands out in my mind. Galatians 6 and 9. Let's not be weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And the gospel passage today talked about Jesus sending out the 70. He told them to go out, to preach the word, to heal the sick, and just do ministry. Followers of Jesus Christ, you and I are called to imitate the life of service, Jesus' life of service. Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, there are many people that think ministry is just for the professional clergy. That's where that belongs. However, ministry or imitating the life of Jesus Christ is what every one of you and I should be doing. Those of us who follow Jesus Christ should be imitating and doing the works that he sent us to do. In Ephesians we read, and his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. A ministry appears to be glamorous to some. There are those that think that to be a pastor or an evangelist, or any one of the other fivefold gifts that are mentioned there, is a very glamorous work and a very wonderful work to be in. And it is. I don't know about the glamorous part, but it's a wonderful calling. And it is a calling. I remember I applied to be a priest a number of years ago, and the person that was interviewing me said, Doug, why did you choose this line of work? And that set alarm bells off in my mind immediately when he said, why did you choose this line of work? My response was, I didn't choose this line of work. I was called by God. Well, we moved along very quickly from there. As it is a calling, the servant takes time from family to serve others. It's not always at the opportune time. And yet, I really don't think it should be any different for any one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. When a need arises, we should be available to help meet that need. I think of one time we were at New Year's Day at my parents' house. All the family was there. The house smelled wonderful, as it always did when Mom had us in for dinner and we were celebrating an event. And I got a phone call that somebody had passed away. And so we packed up and headed back into the city. It's not always convenient. Doesn't always meet the 9-to-5 schedule. A servant of Jesus Christ goes 10 miles to meet a need and may never get a word of thanks. However, it is interesting. Sometimes you do hear something. I was at seniors camp. I'm a senior. I can't believe I'm 71. Up here, I'm still 16. Ain't that the truth? But this old body, oh boy, I wish it was 16 again. We were heading down there, and both of us were taking our own car because Becky came back to work. And somebody said, "Your wife's working?" I said, "Well, somebody has to work in the family." Well, they didn't even laugh at that, hon. They're probably siding with you on this one. And so I went off at Port Hope because the traffic on the 401 was just crazy. And I went past this one store. You make a bend when you come off the highway to go number 2 and through downtown Port Hope. And there's one store and then a lot, and then there's this other general store and a house. And I looked at that and I remembered a young man that had lived there. And he had come to know the Lord through one of the men at the church that we were on staff at the time. And I saw him a number of years later, and he said to me how much of an influence I had had on his life and in his decision to follow Jesus. Well, you know, that meant a lot to me. Because you don't often hear these things. I turned 71 this year, and I get all kinds of greetings on Facebook. And one of them came I guess he's not that young anymore. Goodness, you know, that's the 16-year-old brain going. He was a kid then, and he's not a kid now. He pastors in, I think, somewhere in Texas, down on the coast, the Gulf Coast. And he sent a message and he said, "You'll never know how much of an impact your life had on me," when we were in Kitchener. His father pastored there and we were there at another church. And he said, "You were always happy, you were always inspiring, and you had a huge impact on my life." I had no idea I had any impact on him. I was friends with his older brothers, but I didn't know that I had an impact on him. And we don't always get a thank you. You can pour yourself into people's lives who in turn refuse Jesus. They're only concerned about what they can get at the moment. And so you may sit there this morning and ask, maybe you're a little discouraged. You might be right on top of it today. But you can sit there and you might say, "Well, is it worth serving Jesus? Is it worth serving Jesus?" And I have to say, it is. You know, some of the greats in the Bible had their doubts. Look at Abraham. God said, "I'm going to make you a great nation. Your children are going to be like the sands of the sea." He's getting to be a pretty old guy. And Sarah, She was no spring chicken. God had promised him a son. You know, I'll just let you in on this little one. Our last church we were pastoring, one morning I woke up and I looked at Becky and I said, "You want to have another baby?" She looked at me and she said, "Your name's not Abraham, and I'm not Sarah." God promised me to have a son. And it looked absolutely useless. It wasn't going to happen. And in his doubt, he produced Ishmael. And perpetual conflict ever since. Jeremiah struggled but couldn't stop serving. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, "But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak his name anymore. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Oh, boy, that should be all of us. And then in John 12, Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thunders. Others said, "An angel had spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So serving God is wonderful. But why are we serving? To be seen of men? To be seen by others? I don't think so. Matthew 6, 5, Jesus said, "And when you pray," not if you pray, "when you pray, you mustn't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward." Or in Matthew 23, verses 5 to 8, he said, "They do all their deeds to be seen by men. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long." You know, those things they wrap around their arms and the long fringes. "And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, the salutations in the market. They love being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brethren." We're doing it for God. We're serving him because he's called us and given us so much. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ and him crucified, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sakes. Isaiah said, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity, yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And so certainly we're trying to make a difference. Are we making a difference in our world? Hey, sometimes we don't always see the results. If Jeremiah was looking for results, he might see zero results. Noah saw a few results. Anybody know how many results Noah saw? He was building this big boat, remember? It had never rained before, remember? And there were how many into the ark? Eight. Yeah. I'll get to meet him one day. He was quite the man. To endure the ridicule while building that ark? They weren't ridiculing him when it started raining. And the rain and rain. They must have been living in Ontario. Moses and others could appear as great failures in ministry, yet we know better. So you and I serving God is a matter of trust. We don't always see the results of our labor. Paul says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So we share in the labor with other servants. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. I tell you the truth. Lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So serving God is a decision of our heart. That we are going to do this. That we are going to serve him because we love him. We may not see results immediately. We may see results. I think of the house or the groups, small groups that you have. You may have one in your home. And sometimes it may seem a chore, and other times you may look and see someone who is blossoming in that group. Praise God for that. And here, sometimes we count success by the number of bodies in the pew. That's not a measure of success. That's the measure of a crowd. Are we building a crowd? Or are we building a church? Service is rewarded and there's a price to be paid. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And so what do we do? What do we do? We keep on going. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Amen. Father, I pray that you would strengthen each heart here today. I pray that you would speak tenderly and gently to each one of us as we journey on this path called life. And perhaps there may be those here who have never met you or never decided to follow you. I pray today that if there are those that are here that have never made that decision, they would choose to serve you. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. And so we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. May our lives constantly be an image, a reflection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.